inspiring solutions to save America one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
You told us when it could be time to panic. Well, is it time to panic? Well, let me just tell you, folks, it's never going to be time to panic. Because we're never going to give up. We're not going to give up on America. America's worth it. America is worth fighting for. America's worth not giving up. And while we have that attitude of not giving up, we are constantly going to be searching, strategizing, coming up with ways to prevail. We've got the basics. We have millions and millions of Americans that are fed up, can't wait to do something about it. There will be a series of ideas that people come up with based on dealing with the fraud that we know we have to deal with. You're not alone. You're not a singular individual all by yourself out there trying to fight these people by yourself. There are 74 million plus and growing. We're not going to give up on America.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
It is hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program, and this is a great opportunity for me to welcome all of you listening on our podcast, Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite listening material. I really think when you take it with you, wherever you go, if you have to bounce on the program during your day, and you plug into that sometime later, I think you're really going to enjoy the message. And we appreciate you being a part of our family. 2 million podcast downloads strong. Join us, Wendy Bell Radio Podcast. It's wonderful to have you guys here. You know, I just want to go back to, I don't even remember which impeachment it was. Was it the first impeachment of Donald Trump? I think it was, over a stupid phone call where Trump is just saying, hey, congratulations to Zelensky. Hey, you know, you guys kind of have a zip code of corruption. We kind of know that you guys are not always so clean. And we'd like to do business with you, but not if you're going to be dirtbags. So if you can kind of look into that, that'd be super duper. Oh, impeach him. You got no lips, Alexander Vindman. I heard something. It was very offensive. Whatever. Sit down, sucker. So they impeached him over a phone call in which really nothing happened. Joe Biden wasn't investigated by Zelensky. Donald Trump didn't get any benefit from it. It was a phone call. And honest people, when they're accused of being dishonest, don't like that. And honest people reveal their honesty. Here's the transcript of my phone call. And he called it a perfect call. So Joe Biden now, we know, it's not even like, well, maybe. We know demonstrably, provably, undeniably, his White House, he worked with the turds at the National Archives to concoct a story that Donald Trump took documents that he should not have from the White House. And that because of that, they went after him and they said, hey, Mr. President, we need these things back. And he said, no, I'm the president. I get to do whatever I want and I will not obey. And so they had no choice but to tell CNN first and then waves of FBI agents flooding Mar-a-Lago to go touch Melania's underwear. Okay? And along the way, of course, which was so beneficial, there were some boxes of some stuff. And so some guys who were there with the boxes of some stuff took the boxes and kind of went and laid it all on the ground. Can you imagine? That's so irresponsible, said Joe Biden on 60 Minutes. What do you think about Donald Trump's boxes of stuff? I can't believe it. And then we find all of a sudden in the Robert Hur interview that they wanted to keep quiet, the transcript they wouldn't let out in the video. What video? I didn't know you wanted to see any video of that. It's revealed that Joe Biden in 2016 said to his ghostwriter, holy cow, I just found this whole box of classified documents in the garage. It's so weird how that works. What did you want to talk about again? And he's supposed to be A-okay. So these stories that are coming out now, which I said, I hope Barack Obama, dude, if you're watching, if you're listening, If you're paying attention, I hope you are squirming, because the jig is up. Your fundamental transformation of America, we fundamentally reject. And you haven't gotten all the judges. You did a good job. You got a lot of judges on the bench. You got a lot of people part of the bribery blackmail network, which is the swamp. And they are certainly in your pocket. I mean, look at all of the January Sixers who are live hostages in prison, hostages of their government and a rigged justice system. So then when I read this story to you, it is with great joy. Headline, Gateway Pundit, cover up exposed. Judge Cannon unmasks redacted documents revealing Biden White House had direct ties to the Mar-a-Lago raid and the Jack Smith investigation. Wait, what? You want to tell me that Donald Trump was impeached for allegedly getting the president of another country to allegedly investigate who would be his opponent in the presidential election? Ugh! That's against the rules! Impeach him! Right? And they did. But we have actual evidence that Joe Biden's White House was like, look, here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to go. And this is okay. Of course not, it's okay. This is all falling apart. Here's your story. Judge Aileen Cannon on Monday ordered key evidence in Jack Smith's classified documents case to be unredacted. It's so funny how when the FBI and the DOJ and on the and NARA and all of these organizations of suck hand over documents that Congress asks for, they take a giant Sharpie and they're like, and so there's like, we, and then everything is black. Aileen Cannon was like, yeah, we're not going to play that way. Unredact them. What? What did we find out? The newly unredacted documents revealed Biden's White House had direct ties to the Mar-a-Lago raid. Wait a minute. Didn't Karine Jean-Pierre, that box-checking little twerp that she is, didn't she stand up in front of the press pool and said, I had no idea. It was like such a weird thing. That raid? I know. We were just as surprised as you were. No, we knew nothing about it. Lie, of course. Direct ties to Jack Smith's investigation, despite claims to the contrary, from U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland. Thank God he didn't become a freaking Supreme Court justice. What an absolute corrupt schlub. Merrick, you're an idiot too, which is too bad. Before with redactions, I'm looking at it. I would show it to you. I'll just describe it. It looks like a lot of just black ink going through a document, right? Before with redactions, Jack Smith wanted to hide the fact that the National Archives had several conversations with the Biden White House. So the before with the redactions, you basically see nothing. And then unredacted, this is what we found out. On May 5th, 2021, less than 5 months after the end of President Trump's term, National Archives General Counsel Gary Stern sent an internal email attaching a draft letter to President Trump's Presidential Records Act representatives. So I guess when the administration switch, there are certain key members who are in charge with President Trump of all of the boxes of stuff that he's not going to have time to go through, right? So they're going to coordinate the transfer to Mar-a-Lago, going through the boxes, getting back things that he ought not have, et cetera, et cetera. He's got his own representatives. So less than 5 months after Trump leaves, Joe Biden begins screwing up America. The National Archives General Counsel Gary Stern sent this internal email attaching a draft letter to President Trump's PRA, Presidential Records Act representatives. He noted that he had, quote, several conversations with the White House. Interesting. Thanks to this order, of course, we get to see that U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland's claims about independence from investigations into Trump are lies. So you have your current administration, White House, and the Attorney General working with the National Archives together in order to do something with Donald Trump. Well, that something is planting the seeds of a classified document scandal. Now, throughout these unredacted emails, on September 1st of 2021, the National Archives General Counsel, this Stern fellow, was circulating a letter that, quote, we could consider sending to the Attorney General about missing Trump records. Wait, why are you trying to create something that's not a thing? Why would you be working with the White House to create and concoct a story? Because they work backwards. And they had already decided that one of the ways they wanted to skewer him and prevent him from trying to run for re-election. Because damn it, those MAGA Republicans are relentless and he won't let go. He's going to try to run again. What are we going to do to stop him? Classified documents. Now, it's not unusual for 8 months, 12 months, 14 months, 16 months to go by before a former presidential administration ties up all those loose ends with the National Archives. And these unredacted emails show Donald Trump's legal representation going back and forth with frequency with NARA, saying, hey, this is what we've got. Let's work on it. We'll get him back to you. When do you want to do this? Uh-uh. We got to raid you, yo. We got to raid you. We got to create this the same way they had to create January 6th. Oh, it was an insurrection. It really wasn't. It was a terrible insurrection. It was a terrible theft of presidential records. If President Trump kept them all in boxes and said, okay, go ahead. It was a setup. And Aileen Cannon, the judge in the case, blew it up. More on this right after this short break on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. And, you know, of all of this stuff with this Aileen Cannon, the judge saying, unredact this stuff. You can't hide behind this any more than Christopher Wray can stonewall, slow walk, and claim when he's finally in the hot seat before a House committee. You know, that's part of an ongoing investigation. Or that's top secret. That's classified. I can't talk about that. That's classified. No, see, what you can't do, dude, is you can't overtly suck always and hide behind, oh, investigation. Well, you can't talk about it. It's top secret. Really? We pay you. You work for us. Enough. National Archives, you suck. Department of Justice, so do you. All of you. By the way, they rescinded the Department of Energy, rescinded Donald Trump's freaking security clearance because these clowns colluded with the National Archives to create the illusion that Donald Trump thought he was bigger than big. He thought he could get away with whatever the hell he wants. Meanwhile, the real threat to democracy is all of these schmucks who've been flushing America, our way of life, our safety, our children, our rational thought down the toilet. Is it any wonder then? And by the way, I scratch the surface of these stories. Scratch. Which is why I encourage you to join our Locals page, locals.com. Put in Wendy Bell Radio. Every single rundown, every story, every link, every document, right there at your fingertips. Why? That's how you get educated. That's how you get informed. That's how you figure out how you feel about your time to go into the election areas and vote. Who's been lying to you? Don't take my word for it. Read. So we stumbled upon this. Now, the headline is not good. It's not good at all. Breitbart.com. Poll. You know how I like polls. Nearly half of Gen Z voters are sympathetic toward Hamas. Having five sons, all of whom are Gen Z, this is concerning to me. What this should say is more than half of Gen Z voters are not sympathetic toward Hamas. Because that's true on the flip side. Nearly half of Generation Z voters, yes, sympathetic towards Hamas. And one third do not believe Israel has the right to exist as a nation. A recent summit.org RMG research survey found. Released on the first day of Passover. How's that for a kick in the pants? Happy Passover. People hate you. Showcased the startling difference between the sentiments of all voters and Gen Z voters specifically, those born between 1997 and 2012. The survey asked respondents, do you believe that Israel's wealth and military power make its campaign against Hamas unjust? Do you believe that a front-loaded question that's leading the witness is a good poll question? No. Nevertheless, your answers are as followed. Only 42% of voters ages 18 to 24 believe Israel's campaign against Hamas is just. Plurality of voters 18 to 24 believe it is unjust. Well, okay. But then there's this, which I find better to talk about. I think you're going to like it too. Same website, Breitbart. You guys heard about the tool belt generation? Because it's going on. More young people are skipping college for trade school. More and more young people considered Generation Z are choosing to skip college and go to a trade. Obviously, the high cost of suck in a lot of these schools, right, being the main reason. A young man named Sai told NPR, I'm sure this is believable, that he knew a four-year degree was not the path he would take because of the cost. After being hired by a local water department in Arkansas at 19, he learned skills. Oh my God, wait, what? Kids going out and learning something? You could do something other than suck in the indoctrination of triggered, blue-haired, liberal freak professors on your college campuses? Stunning. Now, at age 32, this guy finds himself mentoring many of his employees who also opted to learn a skilled trade rather than shelling out tens of thousands, I wish, to pursue a degree that they wouldn't use after graduating. What? Studying the African diaspora? That's not going to get you employment? The triggered feelings of leftists? Really? This is where we are, which I think is, you got to get out of the pool. If it's not because of the cost, is it because of the indoctrination? Is it because of the ridiculosity? Is it because you're not safe? Is it because of all of the wacky left-leaning everything that you get on college campuses? It's not just NPR that's woefully homogenized stuff. All the same echo chamber. It's what you get at college. A lot of them, they're opting out. I want a skill. I want to learn how to do something. I want to get a talent that I can take with me wherever I go. So maybe I marry somebody and she does this or he does that. I have a skill that I can take with me forever. And it doesn't involve $200,000 in student loan debt. God, it sounds so weird. Coming up on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this. I'm fussy today. So embarrassing. Jonathan Turley blows out Alvin Bragg's first day of testimony. Opening statements, failure. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, there is that moment in time, and it's that delicious moment when you just want to like bask in the glory of somebody else's suck. When you realize that they've been hired to do a job because they look a certain way or they are a certain kind of person because they check a box, not because they're super smart or they've done their job for a long time or they've got integrity or they have a phenomenal track record or they're exactly what American exceptionalism exemplifies. Because those days in America apparently are dead. The meritocracy, it's so ho-hum. Let's do this instead, because it's really working so very well. These are the people who've given us Letitia James, who is just a malignant woman, just an angry leftist, right? Who's campaigned on, I hate Trump, right? Then you have Alvin Bragg, who worked, you know, with the attorney general's office in New York before he got appointed where he is. And he sued Donald Trump 100 times. It's his hobby. It's his fascination. Trump is his muse. He is addicted. Needs another hit, right? Then there's Fonnie Willis. A boob, okay? A boob, if you listen to this woman talk. This is not a legal heavyweight. But by all means, you should fail upwards to the Fulton County District Attorney's position. Fantastic. You know, ultimately, other people can run interference and hide the fact that these people don't belong in these positions because they're not good enough. And it's not that they're, because they're black. They're not good enough. They were selected because they check boxes. That's the problem. And then all of a sudden, when they have to actually go and perform, it's hard to sell. And that would be yesterday. So yesterday, I think, was day one of Donald Trump's hush money trial. Just for newcomers to the program, let's review. Donald Trump is accused of bribing Stormy Daniels and paying her $130,000 because they reportedly had sex. And he was like, shh, don't tell anybody about it, because my supermodel wife, who's way hotter than you'll ever be on your best day, I really just want to sleep with you instead. After, of course, E. Jean Carroll in the department store dressing room. Right? Right? So he allegedly pays her. Here's $130,000. Random number, but hopefully it sticks. Shh. Don't tell anybody. Then, oh my gosh, I've got to go change the financial documents so nobody sees that I paid her. Of course, all this is predicated on that. None of which is true. Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels both say there was no sex. And the $130,000 that Alvin Bragg says Donald Trump wrote her, he didn't. Michael Cohen did, because he's dirty. He's a freaking serial liar. He's an IRS cheat. He lied to Congress. And when this is your star witness and you've got Alvin Bragg as in charge, who's paying attention to this? Jonathan Turley, literally apoplectic yesterday. And I love these people because I say what I think and I don't sugarcoat it on this program. These folks are on the national news, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you got to be buttoned up. And he says, this is embarrassing. It's not embarrassing, Jonathan Turley. It's a scam. It's High School Musical, the 17th edition. Except now we're using the elementary school kids. DailyCaller.com headline, this is embarrassing. Jonathan Turley says he is in, quote, utter disbelief over the Bragg trial opening statements. Who wouldn't be? Well, let's see what he's talking about. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley said, yes, he's totally like utter disbelief over the opening statements of the trial brought forth by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Former President Donald Trump arrived at the courthouse Monday to hear opening statements. Can you imagine how he feels? Right? He feels like the January 6th protesters who are in lockup. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't do anything. I didn't try to overthrow my government. I went there on January 6th because I was hopeful I was going to watch history. I was hopeful that the elected leaders in this country wouldn't let us down the way they always let us down. Then they let us down. And then I got arrested for it. That's how Donald Trump feels. I'm shackled and chained to the stupid table where dumb people with crappy evidence and felons as their freaking star witnesses. Felons, porn star, and the National Enquirer. I mean, like, can you make it up to be any slimier? No. This is Jonathan Turley. I've got three audio sound bites. He's literally beside himself saying, you know, this is so preposterous. He set up with this idea, total embarrassment, completely perplexed that this is even going to trial, and going to trial in Manhattan. Listen.
Well, that's not unexpected. I think if you poll people and ask if Trump was responsible for the bubonic plague, you'd end up with the same 35%. I mean, we have these hard numbers on either end of the poll when it comes to Trump. They don't move, no matter what the subject is. What is clear is in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. I mean, the arguments today did, in fact, capture all the problems here. You know, you had this misdemeanor under state law where that had run out. This is going back to related to the 2016 election. And they zapped it back into life by alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under the federal laws that doesn't exist. The Department of Justice doesn't view it this way.
I'm going to go back to Barack Obama, dude. Bad day for you. Really bad day for you. Because you and Hillary, you cooked up all of this spying nonsense. Leslie Stahl, no, Mr. President, no. This is 60 Minutes. We can't tell anybody that. Yeah, you can, because they spied on my campaign. And if you had an iota of journalistic credibility left, which you don't, you would be doing your due diligence in finding evidence of that. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, spied, wiretapped Donald Trump. And they couldn't get anything. So they had to make crap up. And the crap that they made up, Donald Trump wanting to stay in a hotel that Barack Obama stayed in, and Donald Trump hired prostitutes to urinate on him. I mean, like, really? Really? It's as farcical as E. Jean Carroll's allegations of sexual abuse. It's so weak. It's so silly. It's so gross. It's so depraved. It's so damn predictable. And what Jonathan Turley is talking about is the polling leading into that question of Jonathan Turley. Some Fox News polling, which is so ridiculous, on Trump's, quote, behavior in the hush money trial. What a stupid, stupid poll. 35% think Donald Trump did something illegal because they're dumb. Because they went to Columbia, Yale, Penn, or whatever, Harvard. 31% think he did something that was unethical but not illegal. 14% say he did nothing wrong. It's amazing how malleable people are. Jonathan Turley, in his second one, he's going to say, look, Hillary Clinton, right? He's going to compare the allegations against Donald Trump to former Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, whose campaign, oh yeah, had to fund the Steele dossier to investigate the now discredited claims that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to win the 2016 election. They had nothing because he did nothing. He spoke to people and said, what do you have to lose? And enough people said nothing. And 63 million people showed up and rocked Hillary's world. Jonathan Turley, number two.
But on top of that, you've got these tough factual issues that were laid out well by the Trump team, saying someone else designated this as a legal expense, and he was actually paid far in excess of this, mm-hmm. because of this was a legal account. But also keep in mind, this is what Hillary Clinton's people did. You know, remember when they funded the Steele dossier, which they yep. denied to reporters, they put it as a legal expense, and then they fought the eventual fine that they received from the federal government, saying, but it was a legal expense. But now you've got some of the same Democrats supporting this bizarre theory.
So what he's saying is Hillary Clinton, when they DNC, Fusion, GPS, all of this crap, these scumbags, because they couldn't find anything on the wiretap, they had no way to beat Donald Trump's idea of shrewd fiscal governance and staying the hell out of people's lives and letting you do you to the best of your ability, which is antithetical to the Democrats' squeeze of suck all the time. They said that when they created the Steele dossier with Christopher Steele and all this other BS, that was a legitimate business expense. They tried to say, yeah, that was, you know, it's just part of being a Democrat. We make up crap. That was part of what we did. But when Donald Trump says, Michael Cohen decided to pay Stormy Daniels this money because he wanted to squeeze me later, well, that was a legal expense. You can't do that! I mean, honest to goodness, do these people look in the mirror and say, you are doing a really good job, let me tell you. No! No. No wonder we have such rampant, deviant behavior in this country. People can't get away from themselves because they're such dirtbags. Finally, audio soundbite number three. He's going to talk about this Michael Colangelo guy who served as Biden's U.S. Associate Attorney General, being the guy to lead at least the start of the prosecution. Talk about crappy optics. Somebody who's directly connected to the Biden campaign, who served in the administration at the request of allegedly the president, Joe Biden. He's the guy who's going to be starting off the prosecution. Do you know how bad that looks? Jonathan Turley does.
Trump insists that there's coordination between Bragg's office and Washington. Bragg's office says, no, there's no coordination. Yet, what do we see at trial today? The prosecution being led in part by Matthew Colangelo, who was the former associate attorney general of the United States, who gave up that plum position to go back and become a state prosecutor. Does that seem a little unusual?
You think?
Well, you can only imagine what Trump was thinking. This is like playing poker with someone with their cards facing outward. I mean, the first person they bring up is the very guy that they got from the Biden Justice Department who's leading this effort. And that only reaffirms and supports this narrative, right, that this is all coordinated. It's a mystery to me why they would do that, except there is a chilling reality here. It doesn't matter. It's New York. That is, if the fact is that most people in most courts would be like, whoa, let's not start with the former Biden justice attorney to make this argument. But in New York, it doesn't matter because not much else matters except the name of the defendant on the caption, Donald Trump.
Taking down Donald Trump at any cost, job number one. I don't care who you need to sleep with. I don't care who you need to bribe. I don't care who you need to murder. Get it done. That's gross. But you know what? Joe Biden's got a plan. There is a plan. He and Kamala have a plan. It's not just all these 8 million people they want to vote who've come across the border. Okay, I got this for you. It's one of those what moments. And it's next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Don't go anywhere. You know, I like Molly Hemingway. She is with The Federalist, thefederalist.com, and I talk about her quite commonly. I think she's exceedingly bright, and she has a very cool way of expressing kind of how everybody is feeling, the buzz of how MAGA feels as we watch the left throw everything they can at Donald Trump. And I really particularly love this audio soundbite of hers. So she's speaking yesterday about, despite all of this, despite the mess, despite the lawsuits, the indictments, the criminal charges, the threat of jail time, Molly Hemingway says, there's a reason why so many people love Donald Trump, because he keeps getting up and he keeps going forward, and he's not doing it on his behalf. He's not doing it for his own personal benefit. He's doing it because he loves America. And he realizes that nobody else will be able to do this. Listen to Molly Hemingway yesterday. It's really good.
Who was leading the opening statement today against the president?
Matthew Colangelo, who used to be the number three under Merrick Garland at the Department of Justice. He left that cushy job at the Department of Justice to go be a line prosecutor in a city office. That shows how coordinated this is. It's not just him. In fact, there was a law firm here in New York City that's known as a Democrat law firm that handed over a few of its attorneys to help bring charges against Donald Trump. This is part of a widespread and coordinated effort, and I think everyone kind of knows it.
Everyone knows it. They're sympathetic to his fight. They see what he's up against, shackled and gagged and chained to a freaking desk in Manhattan, a la Judge Juan Merchan, who's a wacko. How on earth would you ever get a fair trial in this country? Good gravy. So meantime, in Crazy Town, USA, let's talk about what the Biden-Harris regime is proposing to help keep their voter numbers up. No, we're not trying to get people to vote illegally. That's not at all what we're doing. It's just more humane. Really? Biden-Harris regime considers giving legal status to illegal alien spouses. It's like a BOGO, right? It's how I felt when I had twins. Like, I bought one, got one free. Here you go. You got the illegal. Bring your wife. What? You guys have 37 kids? Well, we wouldn't want to separate you. Bring them all here. It's so obvious. Headline from the Liberty Daily. Here's your story. The Biden administration is reportedly mulling over a plan. Does anybody mull? There's no mulling. Joe Biden's in his hyperbaric chamber with an ice cream cone, getting whatever fluids he needs to stay vertical for another couple hours and bark at people. Don't jump. Bah! Right? Barack Obama is at his house in Martha's Vineyard, looking out over the shore, going, oh my gosh, this is all unraveling. Officials within the White House and the Department of Homeland Security have been discussing how to give new deportation relief or work permits to illegal aliens who've been living for a long time in the United States. And they've honed in on one particular demographic: mixed status families. There's always a little loophole, right? There's like a little catch basin, like on your griddle when you make bacon and all the grease comes off. You're like, this is what they're saying. Let's cook in there. That's what we can tap in there. That looks good. These mixed status families typically consist of one illegal alien parent with a spouse and children who are United States citizens or legal permanent residents. The strategy most favored by the administration is on how to make this happen is to use an immigration tool known as parole in place. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. Parole in place is a program that already exists and used on a smaller scale to allow the spouses of military veterans to remain in the country. Now, they're taking something and they're manipulating it and they're squeezing it into a round peg and they're extrapolating something that is not extrapolatable, if that's even a word. The program granted on a case-by-case basis by an immigration officer generally allows a foreign national who entered the U.S. illegally to stay for a limited period of time. And granting these illegal alien spouses parole in place would make many of them eligible for work permits and could erase much government red tape in their green card applications, which would clear a pathway to citizenship. And once you're a citizen, well, if you go to the DMV in Michigan right now, in Wisconsin, they have nifty little places for all of these illegals who've been flown into the interior of our country. Don't speak Spanish? No problemo. Come over here. We'll help you. And we'll register you to vote and give you an ID. Does everybody see what's going on? Of course. These trials are more smokescreens. The goal, of course, is to find Trump guilty, make him a criminal. Whether or not he goes to jail, he should lose his Secret Service protection, the left says, because that makes sense. But these same people, Benny Thompson, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, other dirtbags, say they're a little worried that if they can't take Trump down and he wins, that he's going to come after them. Oh, no. See, if you're not guilty of being a dirtbag, you're not worried about who wins. You're just not. In hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio program, we're going to go here. I told you at the end of the first hour, it's not just these Harvard, Columbia, Penn, not just East Coast schools that suck. Because UCLA, it's doing pretty good too, all right? So the head of their diversity, equity, and inclusion department, I think she's plagiarized more than Claudine Gay on her dissertation, too. Get the popcorn. All right, we're back right after this on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.